speak is John Work with Pierre Raphael. So it's about to try to understand things for blow up, for critical NLS. So let me just explain the things here. So I will go fast at the beginning because this was for a general audience, not necessarily for specialists or lights. Okay, oh, much better. Excellent. So, critical NLS for me is L2 critical NLS, so by the smaller power, so you have blow up in the energy space. So energy space is H1, dimension 2 is the one you are interested because this is the one which is relevant for the physics. And for so for this case, in this case, the power is power free altogether in the nonlinearity. So it's an infinite dimensional system without space localization property. So you are interested in blow up. So in fact, you have very few examples where you have of equation where you know that there is blow up in a Hamiltonian context. Basically, that's the one. You have other examples, but generalized KdV like that. But anyway. So the proof of the blow-up, the standard proof, is one given by some abstractions to global existence. So it's not a constructive approach. So you don't have any qualitative information of any type on the blow-up. So, so the question is more of my talk, is more about how it blows up. So two basic question on that is the speed of the blow up, or the, if you want, the size of your blow up solution with respect to time as t goes to the blow up time, and the shape, that is there a universal shape or not which emerge at the blow up. And you are interested to answer this question in for, let's say, a general blow-up solution. So to understand the how, very often you have to understand why. Why a special shape will emerge, why anything, and I will try to give you the mathematics which are behind the why in this lecture. So let me just recall you briefly the things. So local well-posedness is Ginny Brevello in H1, so it's theory of oscillatory integral. So you have the classical result, if you start in H1, then either you are globally defined or you blow up in H1, and then you have this norm goes to infinity at capital T. And you can see the blow up in various norms, and you have a concentration in L2 at the blow up. What are the known invariants of this equation? You have space, time, phase invariants. This one starts to be important, scaling invariants. So these scaling invariants in the case of the critical power do not change the L2 norm. So the L2 is a relevant quantity to measure information. You have Galilei invariants as any power nonlinearity or any... But you have a specific invariance related to the critical power, L2 critical power, is so-called the pseudo-conformal invariance. So it doesn't hold in the energy space, and that's where all the trouble starts. It's held in a space which is H1, XU in L2, that is U and Fourier transform of U in L2, if you want, in H1, sorry. So that's the invariance here. So it doesn't change again the L2 norm, and if you compute the energy of this guy, you find something related to the virial identity. So I just recall briefly the classical invariance, L2 norm, which is a positive quantity, energy, so you have competition between two terms, nonlinear term, focusing term, dispersive term. You have the momentum, which is a very important invariance, in fact, in the theory. It's usually not used, but here it will be definitely a very important one. And the one which is related to the pseudo-conformal invariance. So it doesn't hold in H1, it holds in sigma, and you have second variation of this quantity. So this quantity is in parabola, is a parabola of time. And if you have then the classical result, if the energy is negative, then you blow up in finite time if you are in sigma. So to start a qualitative description, I will need to introduce a few object. The more important one are specific solution of the equation. So you have this solution, which is so-called the ground state solution, so that's the positive solutions of this elliptic equation. Of course, this is related to the Schrödinger equation in the following sense, that Q of x exponential et is solution of NLS, so it's a periodic solution. From the classical result of Einstein, which gives the explicit Galgaard-Nirenberg constant with respect to Q, you have the following energy estimate. The energy basically is a coercive quantity in H1 point if the L2 norm is small enough. And this is sharp, so basically this gives you the control of the gradient, so L2 norm small, no blow up, and it's a sharp thing, that is, you have equality for V equal Q. So from the invariance, as I told you, you have a specific solution, then you construct a manifold, three-dimensional manifold of periodic solution. The important part of this is that the conservation in H1 do not see the size, do not see the parameter, if you want, all three of them, in particular the more important one, lambda zero, they don't see the lambda zero. So you cannot see the size of the solitary wave with the invariance of the equation. Another word, which is better to see, there is no obstruction so that you can go to infinity close to a stationary close to a periodic solution due to obstruction with the invariance. So it's more positive result for the blow up. Hein? So you can hope to construct blow up solutions which are close with periodic solution and blows up in finite time. So the result, classical result is for the critical mass, it's already 12 years ago. So that's the following result. So you apply conformal invariance to this specific solution, you obtain the so-called explicit blow-up solution, which I just wrote below. So which are the specific of this solution? L2 norm minimal in among blow-up solution. If you are smaller, you do not blow up. Blow-up speed measure in H1, 1 over T. And all the mass goes to the blow-up point at T goes to 0. Blow-up time is 0 in this situation. So you have dynamical... be careful. Is it better? Okay. Let me just. Is it not better? Or it is better? I think here is better, if you don't mind. Okay. So the result was. Basically, for the minimal mass, that is, if you take norm of U0 equal norm of Q, this is the only blow-up solution. So if you are not exactly S of T up to the H1 invariance, then you do not blow up. So the result was, in a way, completely using. So it's a qualitative result, but in some sense, it doesn't give you the tool to describe generally a blow-up solution. Why? Because since you are a minimal mass level, some sense any blow-up solution will satisfy that. And all the point was to deal with some kind non-dispersive blow-up solution to obtain some elliptic estimate on the solution itself, which will not hold for a general blow-up solution. And then this elliptic estimate will give you regularity and exponential decay in space. So then you will apply with more elliptic theory and pseudo-conformal invariance to get the result. This theory was extremely successful for proving the existence of blow-up solution for generalized KdV equation. Okay, so what is basically known for this problem? Now, basically, you ask the question, what is known in general for blow-up solutions? So we are speaking about, let me see. Okay. Okay. Ah, problem often you lose the transparencies between, doesn't really matter. So before this thing, just a small remark. What is known for large data, so that is U0 greater than norm of Q in L2, strictly, just the classical pseudo-conformal invariance in sigma, that is a virial identity. So the second variation of this quantity equal some invariance of the movement. So if you start with negative initial data, and so xu0 in L2 negative energy, then the classical result of the virial identity give you blow-up infinite time, but you have no idea what's going on. So you have no idea what's going on at the blow-up, and you don't know, let's say, in the general situation, if you blow up in H1. So in some sense, you are missing completely the main point, that is to have an H1 theory of the blow up purely in the energy space. Okay, so now we are getting to the transparency. So a classical scaling estimate for the blow up solution says that if you blow up, so I measure the blow up in the H1 norm, that is just L2 norm the gradient, because L2 norm is preserved. So this is greater than the scaling speed. Scaling speed will be this speed for me for the rest of the talk. Then you have two results about construction of explicit blow-up solutions. So of course you have one already. You have a result dimension 1 and 2, which prove that basically you have blow-up solution of one with 1 over t blow-up. So the result is a Bourgoin-Wang, and it begets what the result says basically. S of t, which is already concentrated enough, and you take u star, kind of limit profile, which is very regular. So let's say Cm, and u star all derivative up to m at 0 equals 0. So you cancel a lot of interaction between the singular part and the regular part, but basically you can solve backwards in some sense. So that is the meaning. You can find a blow-up solution which has a property which behaves at t equals 0 as s of t plus u star. So of course you putting u star 0 equals 0 at with cancel interaction a lot. Huh? So then you have another result which is okay. Let me start with the general picture. Then what about numerical simulation? So there was a story which starts with some guess by Sinai, which say that the blow-up speed generically would be about this power, so it's 1 over t power 2/3. That didn't survive too long, this conjecture. Improvement of the numerics show very fast that this was not really the one. Then you have a suggestion by Zakharov and Landmann, Papanicolaou, Sulem, that the blow-up speed will be a log correction of the scaling speed. Scaling speed is square root of t. And then after a few years, Landmann, Papanicolaou, and Sulem suggest, in fact, blow-up solutions which are stable with initial data, which blows up like this rate, that is a log-log correction of the scaling estimate. So it's a very slow function multiplied by the scaling speed. Okay. So for n equal 1, Galina-Perelman show basically that there exists a blow-up solution exactly of this form, so that exists in the nature, and she proved that this is stable in some space, which is not H1, but it's still is in a space. So you have an example, a specific example of a blow-up solution of this type. Yes, but let me go to the feature. This will be more clear in the next transparencies. Yes and no. So, conclusion. One expects that NLS has at least two blow-up dynamics, at least in dimension one, that is log-log, a question of the scaling estimate, and 1 over t blow-up. You expect that the 1 over t blow-up is unstable perturbation of the initial data, and the log-log is stable. Something which is clear, that is, the log-log is not structurally stable. So if you go to the next box, that is, you go to a couple equation, which is Schrödinger coupled with a wave equation, take C0 equal plus infinity here, then you get back to n equal minus u square, and you have the classical critical NLS in 2D. Then blow-up speed is always greater than 1 over t, so the log-log is not stable, by structurally stable at least, but it could be stable by perturbation of the initial data. Okay, so that's all recalling things about known result. So let me just say now the new result we have obtained with Pierre-Raphaël. So everything will be basically for one blow-up point interact. So you have a concentration in L2 at a blow-up point interacting with a field which is not too big in L2 norm. So basically you want to understand blow up for L2 norm in this range equal, it's not necessary because you know already if it's equal to norm of Q, there is just one blow up solution. And in this range, it's quite easy to see that you have a certain decomposition of the solution as basically up to three parameter scaling, phase, and translation. to a q plus epsilon, where basically the L2 norm of epsilon is small. So basically, you have a q plus a small perturbation. So basically, you have an idea. You can up to this scaling, you have an idea about the shape of the solution. It's not it's a very rough idea, but of course, but it shows this form. And in this context, the H1 norm is just given by lambda of t or the inverse of lambda of t. And you want to understand the lambda of t in some sense and the behavior of epsilon of t as t goes to the blow up. So you have an interacting problem between this finite dimensional parameter and infinite dimensional dynamic related to epsilon. The result I will give are valid up to the to dimension 4 included. For dimension larger, we don't know. We haven't time to look really. Oh, that's the one which I was missing later on. Okay, let's forget that. So, but the main point of our analysis or approach is complete. Maybe is a, have. So, first of all, you have a big problem starting from that. So you have a finite dimensional dynamic interacting with infinite dimensional dynamic. The finite dimensional dynamic is rather degenerated, so you have extra direction in the null space of the linearized operator around Q, which are not given by an invariance. And you have also that you the fact that you don't work with a conformal invariance, which is not in the energy space, and so you are not able to use this one too. So you have problems in that. So previously, in all the previous results, basically people use ansatz and remove all the interaction and get rid of off singular things to get a at the end to make a fixed point argument on very non-interactive part. So all the interaction were explicit in Bourguin 1, in Perelman, so you remove them explicitly to get enough non-interactive part in your things and try to then do it using a fixed point theorem. Our approach is rather different because you want to understand general blow up. So in some sense, you don't know which are the ansatz. You are not close to the ansatz in some sense. So you want to know why this will appear in the equation. And of course, you hope that the why will give you how. So for that, you have to use rather different tools, introduce new approach of this problem. I will not too much describe them, but you have a part which is basically to find in the variation of lambda of t in time, if you find some kind of way to see this parameter, not as an oscillatory integral, but a parameter which has a lot of property of an elliptic problem. So you will have on the variation of time of lambda of t a strong maximal principle. So it's more classical things which are related for in the elliptic theory. And I will explain little more the things all together, but at some point you will have to see. So you have explicit solution, but of course they are just explicit, they are just coming from algebra, but you don't have any dynamic feeling about this solution. Why these solutions are specifically different than the other solution. And I will give you later on the problems which are characterization of this explicit blow-up solution or non-blow-up solutions, periodic solution. You need to have, at the end, a dynamical characterization of S of t, of q, to get qualitative result on the equation. So the first result, which is to, in this context, a small L2 norm, is to try to establish an Eschwein point, Eschwein theory of the blow-up. So the more natural way is to start with negative energy, and to see if there's something blows up, and if you are doing well, what kind of bound you can get on the blow-up norm. So you have to realize, since you don't have really Eschwein theory for the blow-up, you don't have any bound on the blow-up rate. Huh? You have no result at all. Let's say that the Eschwein, if you blow up, you blow up slower than an exponential of time, for example, something like that. So there is this following, energy negative, then you blow up in finite time, and the blow-up rate is smaller than the log-log correction of the scaling estimate. And of course, it's always true that it's greater than that, so it basically is a log-log correction of the scaling estimate. So then you remove all the Zakharov, Sinai, 1 over T example of the blow-up. You have still something like that. So the theory, you have to have an Eschwein theory of the blow-up, but it's not an Eschwein theory of the blow-up. What you really prove is an Eschwein point theory of the blow-up. Eschwein point is just gradient. It's not L2. L2 do not play a role in this estimate. So of course then you prove that energy negative is blow up, so its blow up is stable in H1. In some sense, when it's negative energy, you know when it's positive energy, it's not necessarily stable in H1. For example, S of T blows up, but if you reduce a little bit the L2 norm, you do not blow up. So you remove all possible over blow-up rate, at least. So the proof is sharp enough to prove instability of S of T. So that is the meaning of that. So S of T is a 1 over T blow-up, but you can find, well, in fact, it's more than to find. It's just take 1 plus epsilon, this guy, it will blow up, and it blows up with log-log. For epsilon positive, of course. Epsilon negative, you do not blow up. Wait. And you see that. Wait. You have to be patient. Unfortunately, still, to the solution constructed by Borg and Wang is still not sharp enough. There is some work to prove that it's unstable. I don't know. Structural instability of the blow-up rate. Indeed, in the proof, you see algebraic cancellation coming. So they are just true for NLS. So for Zakharov, they are not true, for example. So you understand why log-log appear in NLS and not for Zakharov. Ah, no, it's not energy negative. You have to work a bit. I just give you a result.
I don't even know what that
means. No, I just give you results. It's not energy. This guy is still energy positive, but it's fine. You can manage with the theory. Any epsilon positive, you blow up at log-log. It's just, if you use conform, you go back to Q energy zero, so it's a bit similar than that. So you are still, even if you are not in negative energy, it's still fine. Okay, so this is your question, sharpness of the result. Yes, lower bound, see later. So it's an Eschwein theory, Eschwein point theory, I'm sorry for that. That's very important, because the theory for the bound from above has nothing to do with the theory from the bound for below. And indeed, in the space where we are doing the theory, the lower bound is not true. What is so you have explicit self-similar blow-up solution like that, which locally look like Q. In fact, you have a small tail which is not small in L2. It's infinite in L2. But locally you are close to Q and you are in a Schwein point close to Q. So you are still in the set of the theory. So you solve this elliptic PDE. So you blow up. So H1 is defined. Point, H1 point is defined, it's one over square root, but you behave at infinity like a power which says that you are missing L2 just, you are in L2 plus epsilon, but you are not in L2. So that's a big enemy for any theory for the lower bound. So you have to understand how to remove self-similar blow-up rate in H1. So in H1 point it's not true, but in H1 you need to remove H1. So if you are in H1, can we get better estimate than that? Of course, self-similar dynamic plays an important role in blow-up problem in general, but here you have to think you are at a critical level for the power to give you blow up, so you expect that the blow up will be not self-similar in the energy space. In fact, it is one of the more delicate questions of this theory. So, what is that? I'm sorry, let me just see what. Parfait. OK. Oh, I just gave a talk Friday and I think I didn't put the thing in order. Anyway, OK. Still. Okay, the result for the. Let me just go to the next. I think I'm trying to see if. Oh, okay, sorry. No, I was too fast. So I will not look directly at the result. At the beginning, there is a first approach. Well, we didn't understand this problem at the beginning, so we start to understand what are the problem related to this question. So, and we say the answer will be more like a geometrical answer about the shape of the profile. So if you understand the shape of the profile, as the next theorem will go, it will give you naturally the result. So up to the scaling parameter variance things, you prove that in fact, and it's for a critical NLS, for NLS with any power, it is the only example where you know this is true. You converge to Q in H1 point. So you simplify to exactly the soliton and the dispersive gas go far away. And it's the only example for a power. For subcritical case, you don't know that this is true. And it fails, by the way. For some power. So it's related to asymptotic stability of the profile. Of course, you have in a Schwein point you cannot have in L2 because you have L2 conservation law. And to prove that, let me give you two parts of the proof. I give a little stronger statement that in fact in the part of the proof so that I will not repeat myself later, but this is fine. Take energy zero. Energy zero is a very important set for the blow up because asymptotically energy is bounded and you are large, so you approach the set of energy zero. So dynamic at energy zero is fundamental for asymptotic dynamic. So what is the result say? If you are at energy zero, and so energy zero, you have a soliton, and soliton are in this situation. If you are energy zero, and you are not Q, you blow up infinite time. So in fact, the first result was to the right and to the left, and in fact, at the end of the theory, we are able to prove to the right and to the left. So the picture S of T is never the case. So you blow up. So what is the dynamical characterization of the solar wave? If you have at energy zero a solution which is defined for half a line in time, then it's a soliton. As a corollary, you don't have a cam close to Q. For example, this case is phase in dimension 1, peak or 3 integrable situation. So you have really something new appearing for this power. Another result, which is now a characterization of S of T. So assume that you have a blow up, and this is in fact important for the physical thing. You want to put all the norm in the blow up point, focusing point for the laser, if you want. So you have a blow up solution to concentrate all the mass at the blow up point. Then the result it has to be S of T up to the symmetry. Okay, so then you have to, for this result, of course, you have this remove the self-similar blow-up rate. Because if you are blowing up like a self-similar solution, then you can construct, by taking subsequence, another solution blows up like that. It will be also self-similar, so here you prove that is not the case. So, from that, in fact, we were completely, so we start to understand more the object. And at the end, and this is a pure L2 theory now. So, you derive a theory which gave you the lower bound. So, in L2, any blow up solution is greater than that. Speed, and it's quite easy when you combine the two theories all together at the end, and this is your question. So the gradient behaves exactly like an universal constant depending on the dimension, and this is specific blow-up rate. Still, yes. And all the results are in this region for L2 norm. Positive energy result, which is basically either you blow up like log-log, or you blow up, you do not blow up, first of all, energy positive, you have case you do not blow up, but here you blow up faster than 1 over T, so it's still here, you don't have the energy positive case, the bound from above, and that's the part which is missing the theory. Important part, if you blow up like log-log, it's an open set. So any small perturbation, you will blow up exactly like log-log, and all this asymptotic will be true, including universality of blow-up profile and so on. Okay, I have still 5 minutes because we start 5 minutes later. I have to keep that in mind. So, now, what you can get next. So you have profile, blow-up speed, but in fact you get much more from this theory. So blow-up profile is an asymptotic shape, but you want to know if, in particular if you have a laser beam, if you are able to focus mass at the blow-up point, or not. So it's not exactly the same result. Of course, they are related, but it says now for x small, and the other one was really an asymptotic shape. So you are able to get estimate back to x. So at the blow-up point has a limit. It was not known before. When you blow up like faster than or equal to S of T, there is no natural estimate who say that the blow-up point will converge. and in fact it fails in the case where you do not have a Galilei transformation. I can construct an example. But here you are constant, so the block point has a limit. You have a concentration of exactly the norm of Q at the block point, and outside you are nice. That's the first result in this situation also. That is, you converge to a limit in L1. In fact, you have a much nicer picture, which is here. What is that? So you remove exactly the bubble. That is, there is no Q plus epsilon here. It's just Q up to this free parameter. Then you converge strongly in L2. And you have to know that the local Cauchy problem for NLS, critical NLS, is locally solvable in L2. So if you just remove the bubble, you have a strong limit in L2 at the blow-up, of course, and this follows from that, taking F equal that. No, it's still for small mass, so you can't have two blow up. You can go to the next step but at this level, it's one blow up. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Say yes. Same. We are writing these things, but same, yes. And the final thing is to say that you can, in fact, from the profile, 2 minutes, from the profile of U star, you can recover the blow-up speed. And in fact, it's much more important than you can think, because the blow-up 1 over T blow-up, log-log blow-up have nothing to do. They are completely based on different structures. I forgot completely to mention, in fact, to get the lower bound, you have to complete understand in L2 the blow-up dynamic. So there is 4 different regimes, and you are able to do it. From this regime, you have a last outer regime would give you that, in fact, if you blow up, so it gives you basically the blow up for log-log is just based on radiation of mass, and then the mass is frozen when you are a bit far away from the blow up point. Radiation of mass coupled with energy conservation. Here, 1 over T blow up is just conformal blow up with no interaction with the U star. And this theorem gives you that. So U star is big close to the blow up point when you blow up like log log. So the L2 norm behaves like that, close to R close to zero. So it's big. In particular, U star is not in H1, not in LP for any P greater than 2. When you blow up like 1 over T, U star is in H1, so it's not anymore in L2, it's even much better, it's in H1. So it's basically, you have S of T plus H1 solution. And more, you start to have this picture, let's say one dimension to simplify that. U star is in H1, dimension 1, so U star 0 is defined. And you have some estimate in H1, which say that U star of the blow-up point is zero, and in fact you have little more than that. And that's the end of my lecture.